Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
So we decided this year that we're going to go through Proverbs 31 again. That's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and we're doing it. And you're going, oh no, if you're single in this room right now, you're like bearing down, like, I hate these verses. But I'm here to tell you, actually, did you know Proverbs 31 isn't just for women and wives? I wish men would actually study Proverbs 31. Because I believe Proverbs 31 is actually about Jesus, the groom, and the bride, his church. And the bride of Christ is not just a woman. It is the whole church as a body. And so we are the bride of Christ. And we have been going line upon line. So if you want to go back and get last year's, you can go back and get those. We've been individually going through them. And as we stepped into this new year, I said to the girls, where did we leave off? What verse am I on? And they told me the verse. And I was like, okay. And I'm all reading Ruth. I'm doing the Ruth series on Wednesday nights, and she's like my best friend right now. And then I'm like, I'm in Ecclesiastes, and it's just so good. And then they give me this verse, and I'm like, okay. And so all week, I have been battling one verse in the Bible, this one, because I believe that this verse, when we look at it with just our normal eyes, it can look very simple, and it looks very easy, and it looks like, oh, yeah, we know we're supposed to do that. But when we begin to look at it through supernatural eyes, this verse is powerful. This verse is so powerful that it breaks Satan's powers over our lives and that are active in our lives. Because when we do what this verse tells us to do, Satan is no longer allowed to wreak havoc, and God does something on the reverse in us and through us. Do you guys want to know what God wants you to do? So this woman, let's just recap really quick. Proverbs 31 is a mom, and she is speaking to her son, and he is a king. And he's telling her son what she wants him to look for in a wife. And so I believe this is what God is saying. If we're going to be the church and we're going to be the bride, what is it God needs from us? What is it God has already put in us? And what is it God is expecting of us to carry out? You see, I have two sons, both single. But the little one, don't even touch him. He's 16. But my 18-year-old boy, he's a good boy. And when I talk to him, we talk about what to look for in a wife. I'm every day like, when he was talking to different girls, I'm like, and what kind of character does she have? And he's like, I know you're already praying her out, Mom. And I'm like, me? You see, because he's special. I want him to marry who God has ordained for him. Not just the good, but I want him the God-ordained marriage. And I believe that we are in a God-ordained marriage with our husband, Jesus. And that he wants us to step up into who we are as his bride. And his bride is classy. She knows what to do. She knows how to act around people. She knows how to take care of things in her world. You're not going to find her looking shady. You're not going to find her gossiping on the gossip train. You're not going to find the bride of Christ looking tore up where people have to go and rescue her every 10 minutes. No, she's a confident woman who knows who her God is. She's a confident woman who knows who her husband is what it says. And she's a confident woman who knows who he is in her. You see, we are in him and he is in us. And so in Proverbs 31, when we look at it that way, we can get away from just me as a wife or me as a woman, because you may not be a wife in here. But it does not mean that this scripture does not apply to you, because it does. Because actually, this scripture applies to every Christian. And we, the church, need to be not as ignorant as we can be to say, I'm never going to read those scriptures, that's for my wife. No, you need to read it, sucka. Because it's the church. The church as a whole needs to learn what God is asking of us. Proverbs 31:20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. You see, God is asking us to to focus on this verse. God is asking us to get off of ourselves this next year. And guys, it's hard. We're busy. How many of you are busy, right? I heard the saying, give a woman who's busy another thing to do. And she's like, fine, just give it to me. I can do it, right? What's one more thing? You know, I'm still a packing mule. So for all you moms that have babies, I remember calling myself a packing mule because I had bag after bag after bag. For some reason, I have no babies and still tons of bags. You should see me at the back door. Our graphic designer has ran into me all week and he's laughing at me through the door. And I'm like, open the door for me, man. Rude. Because I'm like putting my bags everywhere and he's not helping. And so, you see, we'll just take on more, us girls. We just take, give me one more thing. No, it's cool. I'll make it work. We'll make it happen. And yet, I think in our busyness and in our movement, in our lots of activity, in our lots of responsibility, and a lot of our pivoting in life, because people interrupt your day over and over and over again, that we lose a sense of what God wants us to simply do daily. And we are very faced with this. We are faced with the demands of life, but God is asking us to be faced with the demand of generosity. He's asking us to be faced with the demand of generosity in our life. You see, the culture speaks the opposite of what the kingdom of God speaks. They call good bad and bad good. And yet God is going, hold on, there's order in my word. There's order in my kingdom. And you are to be kind and you are to do this, but there's also responsibility on both parts. We're going to learn about this tonight. See, Jesus was the ultimate example of generosity for us. He chose to lay his life down. He chose to crucify himself. He chose to be broken open in his body and his blood to be shed. He said, nobody takes my life from me, but I lay it down. This was the greatest selfless act ever to be displayed of generosity for you and for me. And every day, we have a choice to get up and to not let the salvation and the sacrifice and the generosity that he displayed on that cross to be wasted in our day every day. Don't stomp it to the ground and forget about what God did for you, because it's so easy for us to forget how good he is. It's so easy for us to forget what God did. And yet here was a God who gave everything for us. And who are we? Undeserving. We're sinners. We deserve hell. You say, well, I don't. Well, you don't know yet. You think you're all that in a bag of chips? I'm here to tell you, you're not. Because none of us are. Only Jesus. And he was the spotless lamb that went and laid his life down. The most generous act of kindness. The most generous act of love. The most generous act of freedom for you and for me. So he's asking us, because we are recipients of this love, because we are recipients of this generosity, he's asking us to be generous with our lives towards others. He's asking us to replicate in a small piece, in a small portion daily, of what it is he gave so freely on that cross. Generosity was displayed so that we could walk in it and we could lead in it and we could show others the goodness of God. Proverbs 31, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, and she reaches out her hand to the needy. It usually comes, the word extend usually comes from a noble descent. In the Hebrew, it says it's to be spread out. I can extend my hand to her right now. Right? But if I extend my hand to her, is she getting anything from me if I keep it closed? But to spread out my fingers, I'm releasing what's in my hand to her. It's a generous act of selflessness, saying that what's mine is now going to be yours. That's not the world we live in. This is a crazy concept. This is something I don't like, Pastor. Guess what? Your pastor didn't like it. I wrestled with God all week about this verse. And he said, what is your problem? And I was like, well, I am generous. I am a very generous person. And he's like, but where's this attitude coming from? And I go, that's what I'm concerned about. And he said, you have allowed the darkness of this world, the betrayal of the gift of your generosity, the slaps in the face you received when you were kind, to close fist your extension. And now you're taking for yourself the judgment seat and saying, this person gets my generosity because they're deserving of it. But that person isn't deserving of it because they did this and this and this. And God says, that's not generosity. And that's not my generosity. And see, if that can happen to your pastor, now I know I deal with people on grand scales. You probably don't have to deal with as many people as I have to deal with. But the reality is all of us can become hard-hearted. All of us can become closed-fisted. All of us can drive past all of these homeless people and be disgusted. I saw them doing some perverse things the other day, and I was so mad because my kid was in the car. And yet, they're broken. And we put conditions on our generosity. I'm only going to be good to those that I'm safe with, that I know I can trust. And yet God is going, but I didn't do that to you. Because if I did, I wouldn't have died on that cross for you. I would have handpicked a few. And I know that there's a certain religion that says that there's only so many that do. Whatever. That's a whole Theo class that we will have one day, but not right now. We are all chosen by God. We are all loved by God. He died on that cross for every human. And it is up to us to receive the generosity of God. And then I've got to take that generosity. I've got to extend my hand and not put my conditions on it, but I have to get God's conditions. And God's conditions are open and releasing and powerful and good and merciful towards others. So Proverbs 31, she extends her hand to the poor and she reaches out her hand to the needy. She moves to provide for those in need. Girls, we gotta move to provide for those in need. I know you do it for your kids. I know you do it for your family members. I know you do it for the people that are closest to you. But when was the last time you did something for somebody you don't even know? You see, she is in need. She sees the need and she knows she has the ability to meet the need. You have the ability to meet the need. You go, no, I'm the one in need. I'm the one that's poor. I'm the needy one in this verse. No. Because if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior living on the inside of you, then you have something more powerful than money and riches and fame and prosperity. You have the power of God. You have the revelation of God. You have the healing power of God to go up to somebody and say, can I pray for you? Can I pray for healing for you? You see, we have so much in us that we are not activating. And God is saying, you have it. It's you, woman. It's you. It's you, church. This woman is fitting for a king, remember. We are fitting for a king. You see, but I'm from San Bernardino. Pastor, you don't know what my house looks like. You don't know what kind of car I drive. I don't care. What I do care about is that God knows your name. And that God knew you in your mother's womb. And that you are a gift to him. That you are called for such a time as now, today, and for the future of where your children are going, where this church is going. And we together have to fight the good fight of faith. And we have to be the extended hand of generosity in this nasty world we live in. See, generosity can sometimes be received with an attitude of entitlement. An attitude of entitlement. You're always getting. You just think that's the way it should be because that's all you know. And so you never even think to say thank you. You never even think. And I wonder how many times God does things for us and we don't even notice. How many prayers has he answered that you've contended to him for? And then he answers them and you're like, oh, good, okay. And then you're on to the next thing. You see, we can be so entitled brats as his girls. But I want to teach you to not be entitled. I want to teach you to be grateful. I want to teach you to be humble in the presence of God. That when he's generous to you, you catch it and you hold on to it. And you got to tell the world about God's goodness that just happened in your life. You see, we got to talk more about how good God is to us. So others want what we have. The gospel is free and we aren't even telling anyone. You see, Judas was a betrayer of Jesus. Jesus displays to us the betrayal, the entitlement. He experienced it on a great level. Pastor Teresa and Pastor Melissa and I were talking about this, and we were just kind of just thinking about like that moment that Judas and Jesus met in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yet the night before, he's telling them, somebody's going to betray me. And then he washes the feet of the betrayer. He doesn't dismiss him. He doesn't take his job away. He doesn't unfriend him. No. He lets him continue in the path he's going down because he will not go to the level that Judas is at. Because he was on mission and nothing could get him off his mission. And as he came out of the Garden of Gethsemane, he had just sweated blood. He had just worked through and faced what was coming. He had made the decision to give his life up for you and I. And as he walks out, here comes Judas, his friend. His friend. And he kisses him on the cheek. And it was the kiss of betrayal to show the Roman guards, this is who you're after. And Jesus knew what he was doing and yet allowed him to do it because Jesus' generosity had nothing to do with Judas's betrayal. Your generosity is not conditional upon people's betrayal. Your generosity cannot be conditional upon people's reception of it. Your generosity cannot be conditional if people notice or not. And here was Jesus saying, do what you're going to do. I'm already doing what I should be doing. Generosity, bigger, stays on path. It's powerful, and it breaks through everything that screams the opposite of what Jesus says to do. John 10:18 says, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. Jesus, for I have the authority to lay it down, and when I want to, I also take it back up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. And Jesus commands us in this verse to be generous. So this makes me think. I want you to ask yourself some questions. Are there some strings attached to your generosity? I had to ask myself these questions, so I'm not asking you to do what I didn't have to do this week, okay? So I went through the hell first, so now it's your turn. Okay, ask yourself this question. Are there strings attached to my generosity? Is there an expectation that I have, that I expect others to do something when they receive something I'm giving them? And when this is not given, where does this leave me? Am I mad? Am I angry? Am I frustrated? Am I defeated? Am I now a closed-fisted woman, unsure of what will be on the other side of my extended spread-out hand? So I close my hand, and I've allowed my heart to become a victim of my own generosity without even realizing that the hurt that had happened from it was the whole reason that I was supposed to be giving generosity in the first place. And I judged and deemed people not worthy to get it. I had to repent. I had to come before God and say, Forgive me, Lord. I didn't even know my heart was doing this. I didn't even know I was there. But I would avoid, and I would drive the other way sometimes, because there are certain, can I be real? There's certain homeless, I drive here every day, and there's certain homeless people that do nasty things. And I'm driving my kids, and I'm like, I gotta go the other way so they don't see that. There's people that ask me for money, and I have it, and I'm like, no, you're gonna buy alcohol with that, or drugs, or I'm gonna go get you something. And I control the situation. And I felt like the Lord was like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to control the situation? Just be obedient. Give what you have. Give it. Let me worry about what they do with that. Not your problem. It's your obedience and generosity that releases the power of heaven over your life. I'll say it again. It's your obedience and generosity that releases the power of heaven over your lives. So, in order for me to be a woman who extends my hand to the poor and reaches out to the needy, I have to learn how to do things God's way. I've got to. And it starts with me, number one, being open-hearted and willing. Your hearts have been damaged. Your hearts are skeptical. Your hearts, especially here in Southern California, we're like, what's the next scam? I don't trust nobody, right? We women, we don't walk to the car with our heads down on our phones. No. We're looking around. We know who's around us. We know who's with us. I got a plan of escape, but I got a plan of defense. I'm going to punch the junk out of their stuff, and I'm getting out of here. Right? Like, we are tough girls, especially my California babes. You guys are tough. But I think we get so tough that our tough exterior pushes out the tender generosity that we are to extend. And I'm not saying that because I'm good at it. I'm saying it because God dealt with me on it. I have to be open-hearted. I have to be willing. And I'm just not willing sometimes. Sometimes I make excuses to be willing. Well, I got a lot to do, and you know, this person needs me, and I got to go do this with the kids. And no. You know what? Am I willing? Yeah, I need to stop and I need to go do that. I need to go help my neighbor. I need to go make cookies for that person. I need to go pray with that person. I need to go tell that person at the cash register that Jesus loves them. You see, God is doing something in you and asking you to be his hands and his feet. And we have to be willing for the moment that he wants to do it with us. We have to be ready. This means that I've got to be ready whenever he opens up that door for me to be a witness, to be open-handed, and to be a blessing. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Have you ever felt drained, tired, and like you just can't do it anymore? Well, maybe you aren't giving of yourself. And God wants us to pour out so that we can refill, because we're made that way. God made us to love others. God made us to serve others. Not just serve ourselves, but others. Acts 20:35 in the Amplified, it says, in everything I show you by example, that by working hard in this way, you must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed and brings greater joy to give than to receive. How many of us can be givers, or are we stingy in our generosity? I'll tell you a story about a little girl. Her dad handed her $2, and she was so excited. And he said, listen, I'm going to give you $2. And with $1, you can buy whatever you want. And with the other dollar, you got to give it into the church when the bucket goes by at church on Sunday morning. She said, okay, Daddy, that's fine. And as she was walking to the candy store down the street, the wind blew, and a dollar flew off into the gutter, and it was gone. She looked up to God and she said, well, that was your dollar. Are we this way with God? Are we this way with God? I don't want to be that way with God. I want God to tell me to do something and he can trust that I'm going to follow through. That when he tells me to empty my bank account and give it to a missionary or give it to the church or give it to the building fund, he's done that several times, by the way. I'm like, okay. Because it's scary when God asks you to do things. When God asks you to go back into the store because that person that you saw and you just couldn't stop looking at, you knew God wanted you to tell them something for him. And you're like, I don't want to. This is really awkward. Or you're going to make me go talk to a stranger. Especially after 2020, we don't do that. But what if the church began to break some barriers? What if we as his people begin to break past the hardness that has been created in us because of our culture and our society? But we become people that are willing and open and ready for the kingdom to use us. The kingdom of God wants to use you. So be ready on a moment's notice, girls. Because after tonight, you are now accountable for what you have heard. And God is going to bring divine appointments into your life. And you are on assignment. Number two, in order to be a woman who extends her hand to the poor and reaches her hand to the needy, I have to learn how to do this God's way. And it starts with me, number two, expecting nothing in return, no strings attached. Luke 6:35 says, but love that is unselfishly seeks the best or higher good for your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. For your reward will be great, rich, and abundant, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he himself is kind and gracious and good to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Whew, if God can do it, we can do it, right? I told you my story. I found out that I was not as generous as I thought I was. I was deceiving myself. And we don't need to be deceivers of ourselves, but I need to be a lover of God. And I need God to be able to trust me with his people and trust me in a moment's notice to do something with nothing in return. If they never give you a thank you, okay, whatever. It was unto the Lord. If they never repay you back that money they asked you for, guess what? Whatever. It's unto the Lord. God's my provider, not them. Right? If they rob from you and they steal from you, there's verses in the Bible that say, if they take your coat from you, give them, or if they steal from you, give them your coat. They slap you on the cheek, turn your other one. These are verses we all don't like. But the reality is it's because you can't get to me when I'm a daughter of the Most High God. Judas couldn't get to him. Jesus was on mission. He was already going to do what he was going to do. It wasn't because of Judas's betrayal that Jesus went to that cross. It was because of Jesus's generosity that he went to that cross. And it's because of our generosity as his children. And our maker is asking us to be givers and expect nothing in return that I can do that. Because then I have what my mom always says, no expectations, no disappointments. If I have no expectations, I will have no disappointments. If I walk in obedience to what God is asking of me, heaven pours out. And I need heaven to move in my life. How about you? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and he delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. Deuteronomy 15, 7 through 11, you guys, this is a Bible study. You guys okay with all these scriptures? I have nothing to say. The word has everything to say. If there is a poor man among you, one of your fellow Israelites in any of the cities in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not be heartless nor close-fisted with your poor brother, but you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend to him whatever he needs. Beware that there is no wicked thought in your heart. Only you can know this, girls. Saying on the seventh year, the year of release, remission, and pardon is approaching, and then your eye is hostile and unsympathetic towards the poor. See, it's going to benefit you. You're not giving because you know, back in that day, every 7 years, what you gave comes back to you. Okay, so I know, don't you wish it was that way now? But everything that you gave away comes back to you again every 7 years. And so he's saying, don't give because you know it's close to that time. Because God knows the intent of our hearts, right? And he says, and you give him nothing since you would have not repaid you. For he may cry out loud to the Lord against you, and it will become a sin for you. You shall freely and generously give to him, and your heart shall not be resentful when you give to him. Because for this generous thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all of your work. Look at the blessing here. In all of your work, how many of you need blessing in your work? And in all of your undertakings, I need blessing in my undertakings. For the poor will never cease to be in the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to the your needy, and to the poor in your land. God's going to replenish whatever it is you need when you're generous. You can never outgive God, girls. Never. You can't outgive him. And God knows our hearts. So let's be a people that look to God and we look to ourselves and we check ourselves. And we say, God, I want this to be a beautiful warning for me. That my heart doesn't get hard and cold, but God, that I give and I release and I pour out freely so that you can be a blessing in their lives and in my life. You see, God wants to do something new in your life. God wants increase in your life this year, but it may start with you beginning a new life of generosity. And I believe that God is asking us to do that. You see, I found this verse so hard, as I had told you before, because I was wrestling this. But yet God was so gracious to me. So if you find yourself going, I don't want to have to face God in this. Guess what? He's so gentle. He's like the most beautiful surgeon that gently just begins to cut away the things that don't belong. To cut away those things in our hearts that he's going, let's just get rid of that because I need you to be clean and holy and pure. And I need you to examine what's happening in there so that I can get in there and I can begin to do something new in you. And so I begin to use my power through you. And so that when you actually are activated out in that world, you have power to do what it is that I said you have power to do. That you can cast out demons in my name. That you can heal the sick and they will recover. Church, that's you. But is our heart and the intention of our heart that God knows blocking us from being his hands and his feet in a dark world? I asked the Lord to heal my heart, and he was so gracious. I believe he will do the same for you because he's a healer. He healed me of betrayal. He healed me of the greed that I had experienced from people. He released me to release the hurt and the pain. You see, if he'll do it for me, he will do it for you. You can't do this on your own. You need him to help you. What have you been expecting in return for your generosity? Matthew 5:42. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. In order to be a woman who extends her hand to the poor, she reaches her hand to the needy, I have to learn how to do this God's way, and it starts with me, number three. Purposely planning to extend my hand. I gotta make a plan to be generous, is what I'm saying. You gotta make a plan to be generous. I have a savings account. It doesn't get a lot of money in it. Somehow it's always tapped out. Why? Because I use it for other people. And when I hear of a need, I have somewhere to go to. I purposely plan after all this time with the Lord, that was my heart's desire when I was in Bible college. God, I just want to have extra money so that when I hear of a need that somebody has, that I can meet that need. And God has done that for Dan and I, that we have this savings account that's to be a blessing to others. You see, I'm not telling you this so you can come ask me for money. I'm telling you this to show you that I have to purposely plan to be generous. I have to purposely plan. I was raised by the most generous people in the world. If you know Pastor Dim and Deborah, they are the most generous people in the world. It was very hard to keep up with them. They you just couldn't. They just were always doing something for somebody. And they lived what they preached. And I want to live what I preach. And I want my kids to catch what I do. So that my kids are generous and not stingy and hold on to and fear. Because I don't want to live my life in fear of money and, oh, what if I don't have enough and I can't help somebody else because what in the world is that kind of thinking? That's stinking thinking. But if I trust God with the little that I do have and he asks me to do it, guess what? He's going to replenish it. And in fact, he's going to give me more. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over is what he says. You see, God's hand is on you, but you have to purposely make a plan to be generous. An open hand signifies generosity and mercy. God's daughters have mercy, and it is a gift that extends their hand to the poor. God would have mercy and not sacrifice. We are anointed to go into the highways, girls. We are anointed to go into your workstations, girls. You are anointed to go into your homes, your neighborhoods, your stores, your kids' schools. Come on, guys. Where do your feet need to take you? You are anointed to extend your hand in those places. And the God of mercy is in you, and he will work through you. Proverbs 11:25, those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them. And the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. Woo! I should have gotten an amen from that. You're like a quiet bunch of people like, oh man, I don't like this message. It's okay. I already went through it myself. But I want to be saturated with heaven. I want to be saturated with the goodness of God. I don't want to be stingy. I don't want to be a broken girl. I was already that girl. I overcame being that girl. I'm now free in Christ, healed by Christ, anointed by Christ. You couldn't ask me to go back to that place because I am free. You are free. God has saved you. God has rescued you. God has provided for you. God has been your provision. He is your strength. He is your power. He is your grace. Girls, reach out and be who God has asked you to be. She is generous because she understands what leaves her hands, listen to me, enters her future. And she realizes that it will give to others. And when she does this, she is lending not to others, but to God. Wow. This is not about me and others. It's about me and God. God's girls stretch out their hands to the poor and the needy. We believe with them that they will not always be poor. But God will raise them up so they can stretch out their hands and give to others. You see, we don't do it for ourselves, we do it because we believe that they can do it too. This is how the gospel is spread. This is how the good news is spread. Isaiah 32, 6 through 8. For fools speak foolishly and make no evil plans. They practice ungodly and spread false teachings about the Lord. Boy, have we seen that. They deprive the hungry of food and they give no water to the thirsty. The smooth tricks of the scoundrels are evil. They plot crooked schemes. They lie to convict the poor. Even when they cause the poor is just, when the cause of the poor is just, but generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. See, we got a plan to stand firm in our generosity. That has to be intentional. We have to make a plan and work a plan. My dad used to say this. My dad was a businessman. My grandfather was a businessman. And my grandfather would always tell me, Jessica, what is your plan? Well, I don't know, Grandpa. I remember I wanted to play softball. Well, what's your plan to play softball? I'm just going to play softball. Well, what's your plan? You know you got to go through tryouts. You got to be better than the person in front of you. And I'm like, I don't know. And he said, well, you got to make a plan and work a plan. Got to make a plan and work a plan. Church, we got to make a plan and work a plan to be generous. We got to make a plan to be generous, and I got to then put my hand to it and put action to it. Because I have to be intentional about what God's intentional about, and that's generosity. You see, we are people that can be generous. I'll tell you one last, are you guys okay? Is it too late? Am I okay on time? Am I over, Mel? Okay. I have one more really incredible story. I was thinking about it. Me and the Lord were sitting up at 3 o'clock this morning. I just love when he does that. And he showed me Joseph. He like has been giving me dreams and visions, and I'm loving it because I'm a very visual person. So I love that God will speak to you how you learn. And he showed me Joseph. He said, "Do you remember what Joseph went through?" And I said, "Oh, yeah. His brother sold him into slavery in Egypt. He became a slave. Then he became a prisoner. And then God promoted him and gave him favor with Pharaoh. And now he sits right beside Pharaoh and he has access to everything. Everything that's Pharaoh's is Joseph's. And God gave him a dream when he was a young boy. And he said that all of his brothers and his dad will bow before him. Now he was foolish in telling them what his dream was. Because they were like, what is your problem? Even his dad was like, seriously, stop. Like, what are you doing? But little did he know, it actually came to pass. And as he stood there, the whole land was out of food. Everything was drying up. But God had given Joseph a plan to keep them alive. And God had already been generous and given him the plan for provision. And as Joseph sat in that room with his brothers, let's read about it. I can't say it as good as the Bible says it. Genesis 45, 1. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood with him. He cried, "Make everyone get out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept out loud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. They heard him weep out loud and the Egyptians heard it. Verse 3, and Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer, for they were in dismay of his presence. And so Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And so they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not distress or be or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Oh. He was betrayed. They were generous. And now God is asking him to give them life, provision, all that they need. Joseph, the Lord revealed to me, was not crying because he was so happy to see them. He was crying because of the betrayal and the loss of family and all of those years that he missed out on. And here's this moment that he remembered in that dream that God already preordained and planned. And your generosity is already ordained by heaven. All we have to do is step in to what it is. God is taking us down a road and a path. Because the generosity of heaven is going to flow through you. You may be in defeat like Joseph was when he was a slave. You may feel like everybody's forgotten you when he was in prison. And the guy that went before Pharaoh, he said, "Don't forget me." And guess what he did? The baker, he forgot him. It never looked like there was generosity coming his way, and yet he was a good man. I'm here to tell you, God sees you. And the plans of God for your life are already ordained. And that the generosity of heaven is planned to pour out on you with favor. So just hold on, baby girl, because you may not see it now, but God is stirring something behind the scenes. And you might be living in a hell like Joseph had to live in, but one day you're going to stand before your maker and you're going to give an account to heaven and you're going to say, "He is my Savior and he is my God. Even though it was hard down on earth, I served him with all that I had. I didn't hold back from the poor. I loved those that hated me. I gave to those that betrayed me. I looked to the author and the finisher of my faith, and I know that he is good. Joseph got to see it full circle. And look, God didn't even hold back. Check this out, verse 17. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say this to your brothers. Do this. Load up your beast and go back to the land of Canaan and take to your father and the households to come to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt. Wow. And you shall eat of the fat of the land. And you, Joseph, are commanded to say this, take the wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father to come. Have no concern for your goods, for the best of all of the land of Egypt is yours. It was in his generosity. Not why? Because they deserved it. No. But because God was saying something in this. He was saying, we may not understand the big picture. You might feel robbed. You might feel, hush, I don't know, just like shiesty, like the world has just taken so much from you. You look to others and you compare yourself. Guess what happens when you do that? You get smaller. Stop comparing. Because God has a plan for you. And his generosity is for you. And you will find it as you are generous to others. So I don't know how you're living in your life, and I don't know what your circumstances look like. But I do know this, this principle of generosity is for every single one of us. No matter what our social status, no matter what our backgrounds, no matter how we got here or who our parents are, all of that is wiped out in the kingdom. The world talks about it all the time. But I'm here to tell you that when you said yes to Jesus, everything is restored. You now just have to learn what the benefits of your restoration with him are. And God has good things for you. And maybe people haven't been generous to you, but can I challenge you tonight? Can you give of yourself and be generous even though they haven't done it to you? Proverbs 22:9. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Let me leave you with this, Psalms 41:1-3. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. It is easy, Mother Teresa said. Mother Teresa said this, it is easy to love people far away. It is not always easy to love those close to us. It is easy to give a cup of rice to relieve hunger than to relieve the loneliness and the pain of someone unloved in our own home. Bring love into your home, for this is where our love for each other must start. Girls, start somewhere. Start in your own homes. Proverbs 31:20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. In order for us to be women who extend our hand to the poor and reach out our hand to the needy, we have to learn to be open-hearted and willing to be generous. We have to expect nothing in return, no strings attached to our generosity. And we have to purposely plan to be extensions of generosity to our community. If you got something from the Lord tonight, let's thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you tonight don't know Jesus. And I want to extend to you the beautiful gift of salvation. He gave himself, as you heard in the story. It's not a story, it's real. He's a real man. And he came and he rose from the dead. On the third day he rose. Death couldn't even keep him. And he died on that cross because he made a way for our sins to be forgiven, washed away. And we in this world were born into sin. This is a fallen world. We have fallen nature in us, all of us. All of us are born into sin. And it's not until we accept Jesus and we declare with our mouth and confess that he is Lord, that there is no other God except him. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and that no man comes to the Father except through him. You see, you cannot get to heaven on your own, and I want you to check your heart. If you were to die today and leave this room and get in a car accident or have a heart attack and it just takes you and your life ends, where will you wake up for eternity? Will you wake up in heaven or will you wake up in hell? I really want you to ask yourself that question. I pray that you would wake up in heaven with Jesus. But if you said to yourself right now, well, I hope I would. I don't know. I think I would. You can't hope your way into heaven. You can't think your way into heaven. You can't manifest your way into heaven. All of that is nothing to the power of Jesus. He is the one true God. The only way to heaven is in and through him. And he gave everything for you. And tonight he's extending his hand of grace and salvation and the washing away of your sin. You say, well, Pastor, I gotta clean myself up before I ask Jesus to come back into my life, or come into my life and do that. Listen to me. I was a mess. Gosh, I was a mess. I did everything wrong. I still do things wrong. Thank God for his mercy and grace while we walk along this journey of life. But I was really broken. I was almost dead in my sin. And yet, God came and he rescued me. He saved me from the flames of hell. And this is your moment right now. He is asking you to take his hand and say yes. To walk with him day and night. To leave your past behind. Leave your sin behind, because you will never be able to clean you up. Only he, in his supernatural power, can wash away your sin. You see, but I have these evil desires that I know are opposing to who he is and what he wants from me. Because we do know what God says about things. But did you know that you can't change your desires, but God can? And the more you get to know God, the more you get to know yourself. And you begin to change, and a little at a time, the more of God and his word and his love and his grace pours out on you, you become new in Christ Jesus. But it starts with a decision to say, yes, I need God. I want to make sure that I'm going to be with him for eternity. I want to make sure that he is the Lord of my life. I don't want to serve Satan. I don't want to serve myself any longer. I want to live in the capacity you talked about tonight. I want to live with the goodness and the favor that you talked about tonight. I need Jesus. Tonight I'm talking to you. Maybe some of you have been in this room and you've been doing more of your own thing instead of God's thing. God's an afterthought in your life. Everything else fills your world, and then it's God. Jesus says, you cannot be lukewarm. You're either hot or you're cold, but if you're a lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. You go, what? What happened to this loving God? That seems pretty harsh. Well, God is very serious, and he's using it as an example that you walking on both sides of the fence doesn't work. You're either all in or you're not. And he knows your heart. He knows our hearts. And he's asking you to commit to making a full commitment to walking with him every day. And if that's you today, and you go, I know that's me. I got to get right with God. Tonight's your night. No shame. No guilt. Just say, yes, I need Jesus. So tonight, get ready. On the count of three, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to bang my hand on the pulpit like that. When I do, I want you to raise your hand. Say, Pastor, why do I got to do that? This isn't one of those churches that silently does it in their seats. No, we're kind of an in-your-face church, as you can tell. Because if I got to push you all the way into heaven, I will. Because I love you so much. See, you don't even know me. How do you love me? Because I've been praying for you. I'm believing God for your heart and your soul tonight. I don't want you walking out of this room not knowing this incredible relationship with Jesus that he's offering to you for free. So tonight, He put himself on a cross for you. You can raise your hand in a room full of people that love you and are praying for you right now, who have done it ourselves. Guess what? We all had to do this. We all had to commit to Christ. And we're cheering you on. So if you can't do it in this safe room, when you walk out these doors and everybody questions you about your faith, and every demon in hell is going to come and attack you and rob the word that was just given to you, what are you going to do? Are you going to stand firm and go, no, I know who God is? Or are you going to be taken out? So tonight is your night to be bold for Christ. So get ready on the count of three. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life, he's asking you tonight to meet him, to pray with him, to invite him to come be the Lord of your life. If you've been running from God instead of to God, he's calling on you tonight. It's time to get right. Quit playing games with God. You don't know when your last day is. Make sure that you are right. Get ready on the count of three. One, two, three. Raise your hands and keep them up so I can see them. I see that hand. One, two, three. Awesome. Four, five. Good. Wonderful, wonderful. Anybody else? You can put them down. Thank you. Five. Anyone else? You say, oh man, I wish you would just shut up. That's probably the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart and going, hey, I want a relationship with you. There's nothing that you have done. Check this out. There's nothing that you have done that is too far from the love and the grace of God. Wow. His love is for you. So tonight, reach out and say, yes, I need it. I need the love of God in my life. Anybody? Anybody else? I don't want to miss anyone. Just wave at me really quick. Wave at me really quick. We'll pray in your seats. Okay, awesome. I see that hand. I think that was like seven. Awesome. Well, let's give them a hand. Well done, girls. You did it. You did the hard part. This is what we're going to do. We're going to pray together, okay? Now, you don't get saved by raising your hand. It's not like abracadabra and then all of a sudden it happens. No, we gotta work this thing out, okay? So we're going to pray. And the first part of doing this is having a relationship with God. What happens when you have a relationship with somebody? You have to talk to them, right? Because if you're the only one talking, it's not much of a relationship. Let me just give you that tip. And God wants to have a relationship with you. And so we're gonna pray, we're gonna talk to God right now. We're gonna invite him to come and be the Lord of your life. I'm gonna pray and you're gonna repeat after me. If you miss a word, it's okay. It's not about the words. This is not the words of our mouth, but it's the heart. God is after our hearts, okay? So everybody bow your head and close your eyes and pray along with me. Dear Father God, I come before you tonight, a sinner in need of a savior. And I ask, Lord, that you would come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and be the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. And Lord, I ask that you would help me to walk this life out, to be pleasing to you. Teach me your ways. Show me your heart. Walk with me. Guide me and fill me. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. Fill my heart. Fill my life. Show me how to be more like you daily. In Jesus' name, tonight is the night that I am no longer headed for hell, but I'm headed for heaven. And one day, I will meet Jesus face to face. Until then, Lord, use me to be your vessel of goodness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah, woohoo! I'm so excited, girls. You say, why is she crazy excited? Because did you know that the Bible says that when one gets saved, that all of heaven is rejoicing? So heaven is having a party for you guys right now. So exciting.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of him. Who's him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.